Welcome to the Educause podcast. You can find our podcasts at www.educause.edu/podcasts or by searching for Educause on iTunes. This is Jerry Bain. I'm here with Michael Heitz, Associate Vice President for AITS. That's the Administrative Information Technology Services at the University of Illinois. Let's start with your session, Time for an Upgrade in IT Governance. Your theme revolves around a diagnosis the University of Illinois engaged in, looking at their successes and criticisms after adopting an inclusive IT governance prioritization process. Can you talk about the policies you had in place and the outcomes of your study?
Certainly. I'd like to start with where we began, and that was a model where the IT people drove most of the priorities. So when you have choices to make, it was the IT department, and the users were involved, but not heavily. So when we did our ERP, we decided to change that governance model, and that was about 4 years ago. So it was now became very inclusive. There's a group for student finance and human resources, and they talk about the projects that they want to do, and then there's a governance structure that it moves through, and those projects either get approved or denied, and then scheduled and done. What we were noticing after 4 years is there's a backlog of about 18 months to get projects done, and many people started to view the process as a necessary evil, a bureaucratic process that a project had to go through in order to make it from beginning to end. So as you start hearing negative comments about your process, you want to take a look at it. And that's what prompted us to put together some focus groups and study what the real issues were.
And you did some interviews with 65 participants in the process. I think that's what your abstract said. Could you tell us a little bit about that process of gathering that information?
Certainly. The process is to look at people at both personal interview level and then groups. So if you have several people at a particular campus that are involved with student records, you could get them into a room and talk to them about their feelings with the process. And then if you go one-on-one with people, say higher up in the organization, where you're getting closer to the vice president level, you want to spend personal time with them to understand what they're thinking. As we went through that process, you also uncover other people that you want to interview, because the groups will say, well, this is my opinion, but you really should talk to whoever it is, the registrar at the Chicago campus, because they'll have a differing opinion of the process itself. Throughout the process, there were 13 items that we learned, and that's really what the core of the presentation is tomorrow. And it's your typical things. Communication always gets dinged whenever you have one of these. They wanted more people involved from outside the process, better means to discuss. The financial ones were always interesting because you find with an 18-month backlog that people want to spend more money to get the backlog shorter. And then you turn around and ask them, can I have some more money, please? And the answer is always, no, you can't have any more money. So although it's recognized that that's a priority, the money was never put there, and it still isn't there. So we have the same budget that we've always had. We are getting more efficient, though.
In terms of efficiency, what are some changes you guys made?
Before the changes, there were three levels of the organization. The first is the subcommittee level, where the student group, the finance group, and the HR group would meet individually. And their decisions got fed into what we call the ITPC, the Information Technology Priorities Committee, who would make most of the decision at that level. So you went from having three separate groups to one group that encompasses all aspects of the university. And at that level, we'd also bring in decision support and the IT folks to make the decision. What we were finding is that was too far of a leap to make from the hands-on people at, say, the student grassroots level to high-level administrators that would be expected to read approximately 200 pages of abstracts in detail to make a decision about which projects are the most important. So we added a group called the Cross-Functional Committee, which gets people from those three subcommittees together with the IT folks and decision support people in advance to try to prioritize the projects, write a smaller narrative, and then feed that shorter condensed version to the folks that are higher up in the food chain to make those decisions. When you do that, now you can utilize their time much more efficiently. So they're thinking about what are the strategic priorities of the university rather than going through the nuts and bolts of what the actual project entails, which lets them have much more thoughtful conversations about mission criticality and what our strategies are for the university.
Now, the extra added layer of process there, did that encompass any FTEs, or did you just add this functionality to an already existing group in your organization?
There were no FTEs that were added. So the person that's doing most of the talking tomorrow, Kelly Block, is the one that runs every committee. So adding another committee to him is not that big of a load. And because it introduces more time to talk about the projects, it makes his job easier. Okay. So the project management office, by having more inputs throughout the university, it makes prioritization that much easier. Some people might look at it and say, well, you add another layer of bureaucracy and you just said that you wanted to eliminate bureaucracy. At the same time, we adjusted the dollar values for where decision making could occur. And the subcommittees traditionally couldn't make decisions that included money or people's time. So we empowered those groups to be able to spend up to $100,000 per project to make the decision at that level, so then it wouldn't have to go through the entire food chain. And then at the highest level, we bumped those qualifications up higher in terms of both man hours and dollars, so that the highest group saw less projects. Instead of seeing 13 a year approximately, they now see about 5. So you gain the efficiency there, and you keep the decision making in the central core where the people are doing the work.
That's great. Do you have any advice for other institutions that are taking a look at their IT governance policies and how they might get started in a similar way that you guys got started, some best practices?
What we've found is that you need to have very engaged people on these committees. If you have folks that kind of bounce in and bounce out, it takes them a long time to ramp up. And if you don't have that continuity from month to month, it makes the decision-making process more difficult. And those people tend to fall out. They don't show up to as many committee meetings anymore. Or you can tell from the meetings, they just partially engage. If you get people closer to the action, say a registrar or someone in payroll or a controller, they are much more likely to contribute meaningfully throughout the whole process. The second piece is to have someone who can staff the process. You can't just add it to somebody else's job, or you can't rely on volunteers. And Kelly, again, is the head of our portfolio management organization. He's also a project manager and has several other project managers under him. So he has sufficient staff to take on this type of process, which means he can organize the committee meetings, he can put together documentation, he can help people make decisions so they're not spending their time doing paperwork and other process-related tasks.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate it.